The big question, is Apple in excellent shape or just in very good shape?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, Apple comes out with its quarterly earnings after the market closes. The company has had phenomenal success with its iPad tablets and latest generation iPhones. So the big question is, how good can things get for Apple? Here, live with the answer to that question, is Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, we know Apple's expected to have done pretty well in the fourth quarter. How well?
Well, analysts polled by Thomson First Call are predicting earnings just north of $4 a share, up 50% from last year. The stock's at an all-time high. It's hard to find a product that's not doing well for Apple. iPads, the iPhones, Mac computers. Now, other tech companies are also doing well, but Carl Howe at the Yankee Group says Apple is different from the competition.
I think you have to treat Apple as a special case. It's not just another tech company. For one thing, it's a retailer. They have well over 300 stores worldwide now, and they sell as much electronic fashion as they do what we would traditionally call technology.
All right, special case. Can they keep it up, Mitchell?
Well, Apple's beat what analysts predict. This is in terms of their earnings for 17 straight quarters. But they are having one problem. I guess it's what you'd call one of those good problems. They can't seem to make enough iPads and iPhones to meet consumer demand. Going forward, they do face rising competition, especially from Google's Android smartphones. On the other hand, Walmart's going to start selling iPads. There's supposed to be an iPhone eventually for the Verizon system. Mm-hmm. This week, Apple launches new Mac offerings for the corporate market. All of that spells growth.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with us live. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Citigroup today said profits topped $2.2 billion. It's the third quarterly result in a row that showed the mega banks made some money. But Citigroup's been through some bad times. It's been trying to recover from the financial crisis by selling off businesses, the brokerage house Smith Barney, to name one. It's also building up its core businesses. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports where the company goes from here.
Citigroup's plan is to go back to old-fashioned banking. Eric Oja follows the banking industry at Standard & Poor's. He says it'll focus more on things like investment banking, wealth management, and retail customers.
They're looking to ramp up in consumer lending and credit cards and eventually in home mortgages, and that would be domestically as well as internationally.
Especially in Asia, which has been one of the most profitable regions for Citi lately.
They are looking to expand in China, especially in the consumer area.
That probably means lots of hiring there as they shed assets and workers in the U.S. Citi is dealing with so much, though, including the mortgage mess. There's no quick solution to its problems. Matt McCormick is a banking analyst at Ball & Gaynor, which is an investment advisory firm.
Much like our economy will take years to recover, I think it will take years for Citigroup to get back to its former strength.
In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Global markets are all over the place right now. Well, the U.S. dollar rose just a bit against the Japanese yen and some other currencies today. That sent Asian investors away from risky stock trading. Shares there were down today. European markets slightly higher right now. The tech-heavy NASDAQ ended last week up nearly 1.5% on good earnings news from Google. The Dow on Friday fell 31 points to close at 11,062. Today, Halliburton said profits more than doubled in its latest quarter thanks to more natural gas drilling.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
The Federal Reserve meets in a couple of weeks to talk about what it can do to stimulate the economy. Chairman Ben Bernanke on Friday said the Fed's going to likely get into another round of quantitative easing. But a lot of folks still don't really know what that means. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is here to help. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
All right. Quantitative easing. I mean, it sounds like something Mr. Spock would be warning the enterprise about. What specifically does it involve?
Well, to those of us in the financial circle, we call it QE2, and I think it's a passenger ship. But what it involves is the Fed going into the markets and buying all sorts of long-term securities, primarily Treasury securities, which runs down the interest rate on them. Now, that's the technical explanation. The simple explanation, which I would give if this were a bar and we were drinking beer, is printing money.
And that sounds great, Alan, printing money. I mean, that's free money. But something tells me printing money can be harmful. I mean, is it too good to be true?
Well, it is. Just like free beer is too good to be true.
Yeah, really.
Printing money means that you're possibly increasing inflation, and you're certainly weakening the dollar. And the dollar has been now dropping for weeks relative to other currencies because people in the markets have anticipated that quantitative easing is coming.
You mentioned lowering interest rates, though. What about jobs? Can quantitative easing do anything to get more jobs created?
Well, the theory is if you lower long-term interest rates, it makes companies and small businesses more eager to expand, more likely to borrow money, and it stimulates the economy. And who knows, that might actually work.
All right. So you mentioned this is QE2. So this is the second time that they've done quantitative easing. Did it work the first time, Alan?
They did it last year and part of this year, and it forced down long-term rates, and it assured the mortgage market that there were people to buy securities. I mean, obviously, things are not great now, but the argument these guys make is that if they hadn't done QE1, things would be even worse than they are now. And the short answer is, who knows?
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, from Sweden, a man's laptop bag was stolen while he was doing his laundry. The bag had his computer, wallet, datebook, and library card in it. While he was at the police station reporting the crime, the bag was returned with everything but the laptop and library card. A week later, the robbery victim got a USB memory stick in the mail with all the files from his computer saved on it, which would, of course, restore your faith in humanity until you realize the thief still has your computer and your library card. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Here's a choice: climate change versus high unemployment, a green tech future versus fossil fuels, new jobs versus old.
Don't create green jobs at the expense of already existing manufacturing jobs in the state.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs or a greener world? You choose. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.